Well, good morning, church. If you would, please open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts this morning, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, as we continue a series that we started 2 weeks ago called BA and Beyond, as we together discuss the mission and vision of our church. Now, when we come to biblical mission, we got to remind ourselves that, look, this doesn't come from some church down the street or from some church in Dallas or Nashville that are doing things really, really well. No, biblical mission is driven by the scriptures. It is centered upon Jesus. It is focused on the very mission of God Himself, which means that from Genesis to Revelation, we have a path, a way in which you and I are to do life. So the one thing I want you to get for your walking into your life today is this, that you are empowered by Jesus to be a witness for Jesus. The biblical mission of our church is this. FBCBA exists to reach BA and beyond by multiplying disciples to follow Jesus. And I want to talk to you today specifically about the incredible place, God's country, that God has placed us in BA and beyond to fulfill His mission from the book of Acts. You have been saved and thus empowered by Jesus Christ to be a witness for Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, when we come to the book of Acts, we have to remind ourselves that this letter was written by Luke in AD 63. It is literally one of the longest books in the entire Bible. It consists of over 1,000 verses, specifically 1,003. It encompasses 30 years of history from the beginning of the church all the way to the imprisonment of Paul. It is in the book of Acts that we find all of life existing in Jesus Christ. In fact, the first 11 verses of the book of Acts, Jesus is mentioned in every single one of them. Jesus truly is the author and finisher of our faith. So many churches tend to forget that. In fact, church, did you realize that 85% of all churches in America right now are plateaued, dead, or declining? Humbly, 82.5% of all Americans do not attend church at all right now, which means that you and I have an audience of 1.2 million people in the Tulsa metro area. Over 800,000 of them are completely unchurched or de-churched. Jesus, in like manner, empowers us to be a witness for Him. The theologian Emil Brunner said it well when he says, "The church exists for mission as a fire exists by burning." Jesus, before He ascends to the Father, commissions and empowers His disciples to go to all nations, declaring His gospel, seeing and testifying as witnesses to the very divine forgiveness, grace, and power that God Himself has given them. You are empowered by Jesus to be a witness for Jesus. Why don't we study in depthly then Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And your Bible says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus tells His followers that they will receive power, underline that word. Abundant might is its literal translation. And in enablement of oneself, God Himself threw you towards His mission. In Luke, Jesus gives us His life. In Acts, Jesus gives us His power. Jesus's power is not something you do for Him, but something He does through you. The power of Jesus Christ was demonstrated over 118 separate times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The same power as a believer, a risen, dynamic power of God Himself through the Holy Spirit, is now the operative empowerment in your life. And notice Jesus says, power precedes witness. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit and be My witnesses. Jesus, as God, empowers you by His word to empower your life. No Bible, then, no Spirit. No Spirit, no power. No power, no life change.
Which means then that you and I, as followers of Christ, must constantly be in step with God in His Word to receive His power.
Remember what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25? If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Pointedly here, keep stepping with the Spirit. You are empowered by Jesus to be a witness for Jesus. And so before you step out of here and do life, I'm going to give you four things to keep in mind in keeping in step with the Spirit. Number one, stay in truth. Stay in the truth. There's a lot going on in our country right now, and there's something even more tragically going on the inside. According to Bible engagement demographers, they tell us that right at 700 Americans every day stop reading their Bibles and never go back. 700 of us. Do you wonder why we're in the mess we're in? The same group also tells us that 54% of all American Christians only read the Bible once a week, most of them at the service that they attend. We have to remind ourselves that God's power comes through God's Word. So in light of that, we must stay in the truth. We must keep our minds and our hearts renewed daily by the very Word of God and thus the truths of God. Secondly, we stay in step with the Spirit when we trust God's Word. The Bible tells us over and over and over again that God's Word is true. It is true that allows us and empowers us to a life of truth. God always demands then what is best in your life. His commands are not optional for you, but rather they're His best to you. So when we read the Word of God, we come expectant by the power of God to live out what He has called us to do. Because it is the Bible, God's Word, that shows us the true path of lasting happiness. We have to trust God's Word. Thirdly, we then have to elevate His mission. Life is not about us. The gospel is not about us, but it is for us. And so we remind ourselves very pointedly that why are we here? To love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, and with all our strength. And to love others as we love ourselves. Why are we here? To fulfill the mission that God has for us. Who are we? We are people saved by God, empowered by God to live for God. Thus, all of life is a means of pointing people to God's goodness, to God's forgiveness and grace and love in our lives. And when we elevate His mission, He empowers us for mission. Life is not about us. Life is about God, and thus is to be lived for God. And the Lord honors a man and woman, boy and girl, with such a mind and heart as that. Everything I do, Lord, I want to do heartily for You, Paul says in Colossians 3. As to the Lord, until He comes or do we go be with Him? We stay in step with the Spirit. When we stay in the truth, trust God's Word, elevate mission, and pursue Christ first. I mean, think about how your day and thus your weeks and thus your months and years can change. That if every morning you wake up, you say, God, I'm awake and I'm not with You, so obviously You still want me here. And as long as I'm here, You're going to be first. Lord, You're going to be first to the best of my abilities in my mind. You're going to be first to the best of my abilities in my actions. You're going to be first in the best of my abilities through my words, through my work, in my relationships and in my homes. What can't God do through such a life? A life that says, look, Lord, You are first. You're the one and only in my life. The great theologian John Knox said it well when he says, the man who stands with God is always in the majority. I love that. You were empowered by Jesus to be a witness for Jesus.
but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Jesus says. The who? God Himself. The Holy Spirit is fully God, is in essence truth, and thus guides all believers in truth. The Holy Spirit passionately desires the entire world for Christ, and thus equips and empowers followers of Christ to fulfill His mission in their life. The Holy Spirit empowered every stage of Jesus' life and ministry. You ready for this? The Holy Spirit was active in Jesus' birth, His ministry, and His resurrection. The Spirit enabled the conception of Mary at the birth of Jesus in Matthew 1:18. The Spirit anointed Jesus at His baptism in Matthew 3:16. Jesus confessed that the Spirit was upon Him to proclaim the good news in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Finally, Paul says that Jesus was raised by the power of the Holy Spirit in Romans 1, 4. And Jesus tells His followers that the same Spirit that brings life, that brings dead things and makes them alive, resides in you. That's the power that you have at your disposal in every facet of your life. The Holy Spirit limitlessly empowers and intentionally equips followers of Christ to reach the world for Christ, the Bible says. So as you come to the Word of God, buckle up, because you are preparing yourself to receive the power. A power that the Bible says itself brings wisdom. In fact, did you realize that Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 12, and speaking to believers, says that when you receive the Scriptures, you will receive wisdom from above. Not just factual knowledge, but rather the means in which you are to do what God is asking you to do. He not only gives you the answer, He gives you the power to fulfill what He is calling you to do. The Holy Spirit limitlessly empowers, intentionally equips us with such things. He also fills us with boldness. In fact, if you were to look through the book of Acts, you would find 25 separate times that God's people gather together and pray and thus receive power to do what God has called them to do. 25 separate times. One time in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, God's people were gathering in verse 31, and they began to do things that only God would get the glory for, and they were scared. They were timid. In fact, I don't know about you, but I've been following the Lord for over 30 years, and though He continues to renew my mind and capture my heart, it's always that first step of obedience that is always the hardest. But can I tell you that the Lord in the 30-plus years has always been faithful? Can I tell you that the Lord has never once let me down or put me in a situation, well, Lord, good luck. No, if you humbly come to the Lord and from the Word of God stand in His truth and desire to be empowered for the mission of God, He will give you boldness that you never even dreamed.
Sometime this week, there was, just like in your house, a lot going on in my house, and so I was here at church, and Brittany sent me a text and said, hey, Maddie, you know, plans have changed, and I'm out and about town. Is it okay that I bring some Stone Mill barbecue home? Of course, I text her back. There's just some things you don't need to text. The answer is always yes, right? Do you want bacon and cheese with that? Yes. Do you want more ice cream? Yes. Do you want strawberry pie for breakfast? Yes. So we have this barbecue, and it's awesome. And, you know, they give us these cups with this barbecue sauce. And so, you know, I kind of looked at both of them and kind of grabbed one and put it on my barbecue. And, whoa, first bite is just this explosion of these bold flavors. So much so that my tongue was on fire. And I turned that card around, and it said very hot. And I'm like, yeah, you think? And so I'm sitting there, and I said, you know, this is amazing. If you look at both of these barbecue sauces on the outside, they're the exact same. Mild and very hot. It wasn't until I experienced on the inside that I knew the true nature. was changed. Can I tell you that that's the exact same thing with the Lord? You see, church, if we're not careful, we will so program, we will so over-organize, we will so thus overprotect our lives that we are very few times people of faith, but living by faith. We're living by sight. And so all of our life is one circumstance to one circumstance of a predictive, prescribed movement over and over and over again. The problem is, life isn't like that, is it? Unexpected things come suddenly. And that is why we have to humbly discipline ourselves to read the Word of God, to receive the power of God, and to be a witness for God. For the same Spirit that moved and directed and anointed every aspect of Jesus' earthly life and ministry resides in the heart of every believer. The Holy Spirit limitlessly empowers and intentionally equips followers of Christ to reach the world for Christ. It brings wisdom and boldness and extends in and through you and empowering you to be a witness. But don't take my word for it. Look at our kings in verse 8. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Clearly, you shall be my witnesses, is Jesus' point. Now, what in the world is a witness? The word witness appears 167 times in the New Testament, 39 times in the book of Acts. It describes someone who conveys the facts of an event, who clearly communicates an experience by word or actions, something you have seen and are living out in your life. I remember when the Lord called me into ministry, and very, very quickly, the Lord impressed on my heart, you know, I feel like I need more training. I just have this vicacious desire to read and to learn. And so I started seminary, and Brent and I just finished from East Central University in Ada, Oklahoma, and Bryn was a semester behind me. And so we were living in married student housing in East Central University, 500 square foot of bliss. Hey, we had a TV, a rocking chair, a table, and a fridge. It wasn't much, but it was ours. Praise the Lord. And so as Bryn was still finishing up school, I would drive to OBU, their extension campus at Southwestern. I'd drive there every single Monday for an entire semester. So I'd leave at 5:30 in the morning, and we'd get home about midnight, just exhausted, taking class after class, but loving life and loving ministry. And so one night I get home, and I just, you know, it's tired and exhausted, and, you know, it was poorly lit anyway, really, as kind of a married student housing, as the facilities were built in the 50s and 60s, And so I get there, and I'm trying to find my keys, and through the door, I just hear this, yeah, boom. I just struck. And so now I'm feverishly kind of trying to get my keys, and I hear it again, yeah, boom. And so I open the door, and I see my beautiful bride having a broom, standing on a chair, and swinging with everything she's got, and trying to kill these guys. All right, take those off. It's disgusting. All right, take it off. And so I'm sitting there, humbly terrified of this sweet, beautiful bride that has kind of morphed into Chuck Norris with a broomstick, all right? Don't let her fool you. I mean, every time she still grabs a broom, I still kind of shudder a little bit. Just kind of, whoa, look out. Sweet and cute, but she gets a broom. It's coming, all right? I wonder, when Jesus stood before his followers, before he ascended to the Father, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be the ones that will fulfill my mission. You will be the ones through a life that is seen sin crushed
its penalty and power once and for all. You will be the ones that will tell them of God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's power. In fact, did you realize that every time in Luke and Acts when someone is filled with the Spirit, they immediately proclaimed the word of God? John the Baptist did so in Luke 1:14. Zechariah did so in Luke 1:67. The apostles, once they accepted and were filled with the Holy Spirit, did so in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Peter, the very man who despised and denied Christ, not once, not twice, but three times in the gospel, literally is filled with the Spirit and thus the power of God, in Acts 4:8. Did incredible things boldly for the Lord. You want to know why? Because every believer in Jesus is a witness for Jesus. A witness is being faithful to share publicly what God, through Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, has done for us personally. Do not overcomplicate this. Simply, Jesus commissioning his followers was to remind them that you just be faithful. Be faithful from the word of God to share to people who need the Son of God. And I will empower you. And you remind them of God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's grace. And you will receive power. We just simply share publicly what God through Jesus by the Holy Spirit has done for us personally. You see, we know that there is a God in heaven who loves us because he's loved me and because he's loved you. You know that there's a real true God in heaven that can forgive all of your sin because he's forgiven my sin and your sin. You know there's a God who is slow to anger, rich and abounds in love and grace because you have seen his grace in you. And when you accept who you are by God, he empowers your life for God. Be who you are. You are empowered by Jesus to be a witness for Jesus. Take the word of God to people who need the Son of God over and over and over again. And Jesus tells us to do this in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Why? Because movements of God move, that's why. Jesus tells us what we are to do and where we are to do it. The Gospel of Luke centered on Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem. The book of Acts takes that movement always away from Jerusalem. The ministry centered in Jerusalem in Acts 1 through 7. But did you realize that of the 40 miracles listed in the book of Acts, 39 of them are outside the church, not on the inside? And that is why, through the faithful witness of God's people, from the word of God, who those who need the Son of God, they extended to Judea and Samaria in Acts 8 through 12, and ultimately to the ends of the earth, all the way to Rome or Western Oklahoma here, right? Just kidding, through Acts 13 through 28. It is this gospel and this commission that Christ has empowered us to do as faithful followers of Christ. And frankly, for years, we have been faithful to go to the ends of the earth. In fact, did you realize this year, we had 16 global mission trips scheduled as a church before COVID-19 hit? 16! Many of you in this room faithfully committed to the word of God, the commission of God. Sacrificially we're living so you could go to the nations for God. We have to have the same passions that we grow, go across the globe, that we have to walk across the street, church. You see, you and I live humbly in a place in Broken Arrow that consists of roughly about 112,000 people. It's grown by 18% in the last 9 years. We have 2.2 miles away the largest high school in the entire state of Oklahoma, 5,000 students. 94% of them need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We have within a 10 to 12 mile radius of our church, 4 of the 5 largest high schools in the state of Oklahoma, or 18,000 families that overwhelmingly need Jesus Christ. Remember what I said earlier, that 82.5% of all Americans? That means here that within a 15-minute drive of our church, there could perhaps be over 500,000 people that don't go to church anywhere. 820,000 people in the Tulsa metro area, unchurched and de-churched. The largest demographic in Broken Arrow is ages 30 to 54. But are you ready for this? The fastest growing demographic are Boomer Plus, 55 and up. They are flooding this area. Praise God, we're a multi-generational church. A multi-generational church that from our inception in the early 1900s did whatever it took to get the good news of Jesus Christ, not just to Broken Arrow, not just to Tulsa, but to the world. We started in a rail car 2 miles from here. Why? Because we would do whatever it takes to reach people for Jesus Christ. We then went to a downtown area, had a beautiful one-story church, this beautiful chapel, and we outgrew it because we were faithful to the mission of God. And so from there, we looked across the street and we built the Rock Church, brick by brick, rock by rock. Kids would, in a wheelbarrow, take rocks from a quarry and bring them to their moms and dads who, after working all day, would bring a lunch and would build God's church. Then after 40 years, that building wasn't enough, and so God gave us an entire block. And day after day, week after week, year after year, we were faithful to the very mission that God has commanded us to right here. And then in the early 2000s, God brought us here. 150 acres that was meant to be an amusement park. God said, nope, I'm going to build my church. I want this place to be a light, the highest place elevation-wise in all of Tulsa County. And my people will shine from this hill and will faithfully take this gospel from this hill to as many people as possible. And so by God's grace, we've been doing it now for 20 years. And it's now as we have these next several chapters. You see, the amazing thing is, biblical historians tell us that actually there is no end to the book of Acts. It just goes on and on. There is no exclamation point. There is no question mark. There is no period. It's really a comma. You and I have the privilege of living out Acts chapter 29. You and I, as God's people in First Baptist Church of Broken Arrow, have the opportunity to write these next chapters, to see thousands of people go and reach tens of thousands more with the gospel that is still changing lives. But in order to do what we do, we got to remind ourselves of who we are. We exist to reach BA and beyond, to multiply disciples, to make disciples, to make disciples, to make disciples, to follow Jesus. And we're going to start here in our Jerusalem. And we're going to take this same passion that we have to go across the globe, and we're going to zealously go across the street until the Lord returns or till we go to be with Him. Why? Because that's who we are. That's who we've always been. Let's be people of the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God to fulfill the mission of God. You are empowered by Jesus to be a witness for Jesus. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Our Father, as God, we leave this place. God, place in each and every one of our hearts just one person this week. One person this week, Lord, that needs a phone call, that needs a text, that needs some coffee or some good food,
that needs to be encouraged and inspired and challenged, comforted with the Word of God. And God, may we be faithful to take your word to someone who needs the Son of God. And God, may we tell them of your love and of your forgiveness and of your grace and power that is still changing lives right now. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, perhaps you're here and you need this love and this forgiveness and this grace and this power in your life right now. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The consequence of choosing to go your way, to build your brand, to fulfill your passions and desires and wants will ultimately end with you. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You see, when you surrender your life completely to Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, then the Bible says instantly, every one of your sins is forgiven, for they were paid for by the sinless substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, whose righteousness covers all of your sin. And consequently, he gives you a new heart and thus a new start. And he'll renew your mind by his Spirit and by his Word. He'll empower your life each and every day. God is for you. God desires to be with you now and forever through his Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, if you're watching online, give your life to Jesus Christ right now. If you're watching online, just type Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, in the comment section right now. If you're here or online and you want to talk to someone about what a relationship with the Lord looks like, just text Jesus to 45776, and we have a team member ready right now. If you're here in the room and you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ, just raise your hand right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God bless you, little one. Anybody else? God bless you, sir. Anybody else? I want to give my life wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ right now. Just raise your hand. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Praise God. Church, would you begin praying as the Lord moves? Anybody else? Anybody else want to surrender their life to Jesus Christ? Praise God. For those of you who know Christ, you can put your hands down now. Who's that one that needs Christ? Who's that one that God has put on your heart? Who's that neighbor? Who's that coworker? Who's that teammate? Who's that friend? Would you write their names down right now? Sociologists tell us that if you hear something, there's about a 20% chance you're going to do it. But if you hear something and write it down, there's a 70% chance. If you hear something and write it down and then tell someone else, there's a 90% chance. Write their names. Write a day. Write a time. I'm going to text. I'm going to call. I'm going to take them to lunch. I'm going to have them over for dinner. We're going to go play some golf together. We're going to go for a walk. And I'm going to tell them about God's love and God's forgiveness and God's grace through Jesus Christ. God, take all of these things, use them for your glory to build your kingdom. We love you, our King. It's in the name above all names. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.